This is Sam Thomas, Trinity College Alumni Association, and Bonnie, my wife, here with the privilege today to interview Keith Martin Johns and his lovely wife, Linda. And we are their alumni of Trinity College, and we are asking them today a few questions about their years before, after, before, during, and after Trinity. So the first question today, Keith, for you and Linda, is how did the Lord lead you to Trinity College?
That's a big question and not a simple one to answer, but I will try to do my best at getting to it. I was coming out of a background of owning a corporation, and I was pursuing within the realm of a God-given ability that I knew that God had given me the ability, but I wasn't a Christian at the time. And I didn't even know why he had given me this ability. And I was discouraged because at the time I was really successful in all the commercial background that I was in, and the corporation was really successful. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to move in another direction I sensed that I needed to go into. And after about 6 months of spending all the money I had from selling out of the corporation, I was really exhausted trying to figure out, now, how do I stay alive as an artist? What do I do? That's a very, very difficult question. So it was out of that desperation that I actually came to Christ. And that's a really long story. But out of that, coming to Christ, I began to grow. Mm-hmm. And how I was growing was listen to several radio stations. It was Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur Jr. They were coming on back to back, and I would listen to one, then I'd listen to another. And they're very different communicators. But the Word of God began to penetrate my heart and my soul tremendously. And I began to feel a desire to grow and a want and a need to grow. And even though I was sitting there working with all my artwork, I would be listening and I'd be thinking. Trinity College wasn't far down the road. It's probably less than a mile away. The old Dunedin College.
Yeah,
that's where we were at.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew some guys that had graduated from there because I met them before, and they were real gracious young guys. And I began to hear them speak in different churches. I was just saved, and I was just beginning to kind of grow, and I didn't know where I was supposed to go, what I was supposed to do, but I was listening to them, and I thought, wow, those guys had graduated from Trinity. Boy, they feel confident, and they have a sense of authority with handling the Word of God. I said, man, I really like that. I wanted to know God, and I didn't know how to know Him. I didn't belong to any discipleship groups. I really didn't even know the importance of the church and its role with growing. And so it was out of there. I literally walked into the church. Barry Banther at the time was the president. I didn't even have a high school education. I got kicked out of high school. I'm so stupid, I didn't even realize I needed an education to go to college. So I walk in tears. I'm walking in the president's office, and he said, listen, don't worry about it. We'll get you through a few courses here, and that way you can work on your GED or whatever you need, and we'll take care of it. Very gracious, gracious man. And that was the beginning. And if God had not had that kind of grace on me, I would have never be anywhere where I am today to experience all the things that I experienced. That was the first introduction to Trinity College. Well, it didn't take me too long to realize that it was very difficult to be in Trinity College with no money, no financing. It's the reality of life. It took me a long time to ever get back there. But it was the reason I did get back there eventually was not to do with me, so much so that obviously I met my wife, Linda, and in Cedar Key, where we were, she was living in Chiefland, and I was living in Cedar Key, and we met, and it was from that meeting, the things that happened to us, and I might let her do some talking if she can, to tell you where we came from there to get back to Trinity College the second time, because it took several different times to get through Trinity. I squeezed a four-year college into 13 years.
All right. Linda.
Well, we were in a swimming pool that we would go to often, and we were reminiscing and talking, and Keith said to me, he says, now, what would you really want from a husband? What do you look for a husband? And I said, well, I really want a godly man. And he tells me later that is what stole his heart. So he had his Bible. It was under his seat in a car. And I looked at it and had notes all over this Bible. And I was just so amazed that he was so in tune to this book. And then our love affair kind of started from there.
Okay, Linda and Keith, we've gotten to the place where Keith has started Trinity. And now you've met. What about the rest of the Trinity story? Where does that begin?
Well, after we fell in love, I'm going to use that word because everybody says you don't fall in love. But the point is, after we began this affair of love, we got married. And then what really happened is then a love affair of Jesus Christ began to happen. Because that was our desire. It's not just want to be, I wanted a godly woman, she wanted a godly man. That was what we wanted. And after we met, we said, okay, now where do we go from here? What are we going to do? And we began to pursue God. And we had a lot of difficulties in the sense of being in a small little country town, trying to figure out how do you make that all happen. But we had happened to walk into a church where the pastor was bringing a course called Knowing and Experiencing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby. I mean, a lot of people have taken that course, but we'd never heard of Henry Blackaby, had never heard of anything of that kind of a course. That course literally impacted us in such a way that we wound up back in Trinity College, just as a short version of all the things that went on with that course. We wound up following God's will for our life. He led us to Trinity College again, which I didn't know, have any idea how I was ever going to get back there again. Mm. And so that's sort of the second phase of Trinity College. And then I'll let Linda pick up from there if she wants to have some input.
So in the course of following Christ, Keith was taking a class with Frank DiPronio, and it was the life and study, the ministry of Christ. And we had this old computer, and anyway, the computer, we were almost finished with this 112-page assignment of Christ's life, and the computer failed and broke and dropped. And I had to retype the whole paper, and it was, you know, just type. Around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I had was reading it, and it said that no one comes to the Father except through me. And even though we had gone on a mission trip, even though I had testified of all these things, I was never pierced by the Spirit of God. And at that time, at that moment, I received Christ. And I had gone to church. We'd gone through Henry Blackaby. And I thought I was just a believer and a follower of Christ. But I really wasn't. It was at that moment that Christ came into my heart.
Well, the thing that I think is so amazing is those were incredible times. They really were great times, and I don't think there was any really thing that I would say they were bad times in any way, because they weren't even challenging times. The only thing challenging, of course, was getting some of the assignments in. But they were awakening times. If I ever had to say anything, probably one of my heroes of theologians is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards had so many great quotes that he talked about God being so full that he was like, he's talking about his effulgence, his overflow. He's like a fountain. You know, you can't stop something that's flowing like that. And that's who God is. And what flows from God is meant to return to God. Those were times where we were just being awakened to the bigness of who God is. All the classes were great. It was a learning time. Missions itself was an eye-opener. I had no idea the bigness of missions and what we were really being introduced to. I mean, different denominations, different churches, different everything, different cultures. I'd never even been in another culture in my whole life. And so we began to be awakened to big ideas, big thoughts, and ultimately to a big God. What I realized is, during all that, it was the beginning of learning to be a student of life. And more important than that, this was going to be ongoing. But as far as going back and saying what were some of the great times, I think the professors themselves, I know when I first went to Dunedin, to the Dunedin campus there, Professor Tom Woodward, comes walking in with his little guitar, and he had just started himself. He had a course called Evangelism, and he had two books that he recommended us to read, or else that was, I guess that was our books to read. It was Margaret Becky Pippert, Out of the Salt Shaker Into the World. I'll never forget some of the things that she had gone through in this book. And Joe Aldrich, which is a student of Howard Hendricks from Dallas, and called Lifestyle Evangelism. And I remember this little guy coming in with his guitar. We're singing worship songs, and we're studying these books, and we're talking on these great truths. And I remember in my life at that time, I was thinking, man, I love it here. This is great. If this is what Trinity College is about, I want more of it. And so it was a time to be awakened, to be actually become more thirsty for the great truths of who God was, the kids that we met, the different students that were there, the different projects that we were engaged in, the mission trips we went on, the training we were all involved in, the things that we were all doing. We had no idea the bigness of where that was going to lead everybody. And we have not necessarily totally been in touch with everybody for all of their lives, but we've seen where everybody's gone. And we've seen how God has used them, how he's used all of us in greater ways than we would ever have thought possible at the time.
So thank you for that. And as we heard about your Trinity years, we want to just talk about how God has been advancing the call, and you've been chasing God's calling in your life, especially in the area of creativity and art and God's creation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, let me go back for a second and talk about Edwards. And I was just alluding to his comment that he had talked about. And he said, there isn't a propensity, there isn't a fountain of propensity to overflow, and there is no mark of deficiency in a fountain that's prone to overflow. Now, what Edwards is talking about, what overflows from God, is his glory. It's the fullness of all that he is. What we have done in the process of working in missions was to see maybe more of a front-end aspect of God's glory. What I've realized being an artist my whole entire life, even before I came to Trinity College, I had been a professional artist, is that in aesthetics and beauty, God is also glorious. He's glorious in everything. There's nothing that he does that he is not glorious about. And I began to realize there's a whole other aspect of, no one ever sort of thinks that as being radical. When you think of missions, sometimes I think of Martin Luther. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's word abideth still. Let's go. That's like, it's marching words. I mean, that's radical talk. That's edgy living. And so, you know, that kind of thinking is what we do with missions. Beauty and aesthetics and is a whole nother word. It's almost like being on a backwards, it's almost been 180 degree of that. And yet in it are great truths about the very character of God. He creates. This is what he does. He creates. He speaks. We don't speak and things come into existence, worlds and galaxies and whatever. We can't do that. We have no power. We're only working out of what we've been given. But yet at the same time, the very nature of God, he's a God who creates. And what he's created is good. And he's going to use it for good. He's going to use it for his good. He's going to use it for our good. Because God is good. That's the nature of who God is. And so I began to realize there's this great work in the work of your hands. Not only that, everything that he's created is created to reflect the glory of who he is. And that's how I began to understand glory. We've been made for him. We've been made to image forth his glory. We've been made to experience all that and to feel and experience his goodness. And out of that goodness comes that same overflow in our lives. When Jesus said, what's going to come from the innermost part of your being? What is it? A river. He's the river of life. And when we're feasting and we're drinking from that fountain, there's a propensity in us to overflow. C.S. Lewis, I think, says it better than anybody. And he talked about the whole world ringing with praise. He couldn't figure out why God said, praise me, praise me, praise me. But he wasn't saved at the time. And he said, "Why? What kind of a God is that? He sounds like a woman wanting compliments." And he said, I hadn't dawned on him that the whole world is praising. And he goes on for a paragraph long, everybody that's praising and everything that's praising. And it hit him that the joy doesn't come to its consummated, appointed end until it's been expressed. That effulgence of joy,
yeah,
I find an experience in God.
Right.
I find the way to express it in the praise of His worth through art. Mm. That's what I'm doing. And our intention here on all, on this piece of property, and we're working on developing it right now. This is how we're chasing that. This is how we're pursuing that vision, is to develop a place where we can have a facility for people to come, feel home, feel welcome, feel like we can sit and we can talk about life and about these truths. And this is going to be a place where we're going to do, my wife and I are going to do retreats here, in a sense. We're going to have little cabins in the back. We're already building these facilities right now. And it will be a place where we're going to share the gospel and we're going to share life. But we're going to do it the way that Joe Aldridge said in that book that Professor Tom Woodward introduced me to when I first came to Trinity College, called Lifestyle Evangelism. Mm. That's how we're pursuing and chasing that call.
Thank you for listening. I'm John Keller, and that is the Trinity College of Florida podcast. Remember, God calls, we equip, and you advance.